I'm Mark Bashore. Welcome back to Current State. One part of President-elect Donald Trump's winning election strategy was winning the industrial Midwest. His promises to secure American jobs resonated with many blue-collar workers who defected from the Democratic ranks. Now, manufacturers and their employees are expecting him to deliver. Our first guest also hopes to see a better future for manufacturing, especially in the Lansing area. Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero is helping launch a new effort to boost manufacturing jobs here in Michigan and across the country. Mayor Bernero joins me now from Pittsburgh, where he's attending the National League of Cities Summit. Mayor Virge Bernero, welcome back.
Thank you. Happy to be here, Mark.
This task force was unveiled back in March, 8 months or so later. Where are you with it?
Well, and actually, this has been a career-long goal about strengthening manufacturing. You might remember that during the Great Recession and the bankruptcy, what ended up being the bankruptcy of General Motors, and when the auto industry was in danger, we went to Washington. We created what was the Mayor's Automotive Coalition. It turned into the Manufacturing Alliance of Communities, and now we're sort of joining the Manufacturing Alliance of Communities, which is mayors from around the country, with the National League of Cities group of mayors there, and launching a manufacturing initiative. So we had an important meeting yesterday with Mayor Peduto, who's co-chair. He's the mayor of Pittsburgh, and they've got, of course, a lot of thriving manufacturing here in Pittsburgh. It's where they're really a lot of the driverless technology for automobiles is based, with Google and Uber and so on. So we're getting ready to present what hopefully will be a national manufacturing agenda to the new president, to President-elect Trump and the Congress next year. We're working diligently to create that agenda. We're working with manufacturers and mayors and economic development experts and the folks at the National League of Cities to develop that agenda. And, of course, that involves the talent pipeline. It involves trade issues. It involves all of very important transportation, infrastructure, all of the elements that go into manufacturing. And manufacturing, of course, is very exciting. It's crucial to cities like Lansing. It has an outsized portion of our economy. It's 75% of the nation's R&D. It's 90% of the patents generated in this country come from manufacturing. So it is crucial, really, to the economic backbone of this country that we have a thriving manufacturing sector. And we worked with President Obama. We worked with President Bush on this issue. But really, yesterday's work is not good enough. You have to have an agenda that is current with today, with the advance of technology, that says what does manufacturing need today to stay on the cutting edge.
You ticked off a couple of components that will probably be a part of this manufacturing agenda. The talent pipeline was the first one. You mentioned a couple of others. Go just a little bit deeper on one of those that you consider especially important.
Well, Mark, it's hard to pick one over the other. I mean, I mentioned infrastructure, and a number of the mayors talked about this yesterday. If your infrastructure is failing, how can you retain and attract manufacturers? This is a global business today, right? I mean, it's a global economy. We hear that all the time. Even American cars have some foreign content in them. It's a global economy. So the infrastructure, the transportation, of course, if you make things and you plan to export them, you got to have the transportation. You got to have the rail lines, right? You got to have the roads. You have to have the infrastructure. So that's a crucial, crucial component. But actually, all of these, I couldn't pick one over the other. You know, the trade policies, which President-elect Trump talked about a lot, those are crucial. Having a level playing field. The talent pipeline, absolutely vital. And here we're talking about the great work at Lansing Community College and the Tech Center. Our schools, you know, Lansing schools, all the public schools, helping to prepare young people. If you look at the countries that have been successful, Mark, like Germany in particular, they start in middle school identifying kids and sort of getting them on a track, kids mm-hmm. that are good with their hands, kids that want, you know, today we call it STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, and also the maker movement, you know, and robotics, allowing opportunities for kids to explore and to do things, kids who are tactile learners, who are good with their hands. We have to reward that. We have to provide opportunities. We have to provide enrichment. It starts early. Not every child wants to go to college or needs to. We need to have stackable apprenticeship programs and certificates so that somebody can be involved in the skilled trades and have a skilled trades track for people. I think we've got work to do on that in Michigan. Although there are certainly some good things in place, we can learn from other places. Part of this is about best practices, having that in place. And part of it, by the way, what we haven't talked about that I get very excited about is what I call the Patriotic Purchasing Network. creating a patriotic purchasing network so that what we make in Lansing can be quickly available to people all over the country, and what they make in the country, so that we can grow American jobs. And I think that's an economic stimulus that is waiting to happen. If we simply spend taxpayer money when we go to buy lamps or T-shirts for the Little League or pins or pens, you name it, if we have a domestic purchasing network in place so that we can keep the money in America.
Got it. Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero joins us on the line from Pittsburgh. President-elect Trump is vowing to dismantle NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, as soon as possible. How do you feel about that possibility, and how does that figure into what you're trying to get done?
Well, when NAFTA was, I don't disagree with them, but when NAFTA was created, if you go back, and anybody can Google this, there was a big debate, and Congressman Gephardt, who I think was the Democratic leader at that time, Richard Gephardt, he ended up being a candidate for president and lost in the primary to President Clinton, but Congressman Gephardt tried to get certain protections in NAFTA, in particular, environmental and labor protections. I mentioned a level playing field earlier about the importance in trade of a level playing field. I believe, and this isn't just a slogan, I believe, and I think it can be proven, we have the most productive workers in the world in the United States, right here in America. And, of course, we've proven that at GM here in Lansing. Our workers, you know, we produce award-winning vehicles, some of the best in the world right now. But, you know, let's face it, we like a decent wage in America. We like decent benefits in America. And what the problem with these trade agreements that do not have environmental and labor protections in them, there is no level playing field, Mark, and it's ended up being a race to the bottom. And I really believe that that fed and contributed to Trump's victory. I believe that people of all stripes, Democrat, Republican, you name it, have had it with the race to the bottom. We have seen our American standard of living diminished, and it's not as though the American standard of living is even bringing up other people, because these global corporations have been allowed to go to places like Mexico and China and really get away with things that they can't get away with here.
Mm-hmm.
And what Gephardt tried to push in NAFTA was, he said, yeah, oh, that's fine. Let's have free, but let's have fair trade, not free trade, so that our companies, these companies shouldn't be able to go and pollute the rivers and waterways in these other countries and do things that they wouldn't do here. They shouldn't be able to have child labor and slave labor and prison labor. They shouldn't be able to pay people dirt. You ought to be able to organize a union. You think, Mark, that you can organize a union? We had the Colombia Free Trade Agreement. I was opposed to that. We had the Korea Free Trade Agreement. I was opposed to that. You think you can go organize a union in Colombia? You think you can go organize a union in Mexico? Good luck. You risk your life. And so if we don't stand for American values around the globe, what do we stand for? Well, we stand for money. And that's wrong. And the American people are tired of it. And I think, again, I think that contributed to Trump's victory. People said these free trade agreements aren't working for us. And, in fact, they're really not working for the average worker in those countries. Because, yes, they're making some money, but they're polluting the land. I've been to China. You can't breathe the air.
Got it.
You can't breathe the air in Beijing, Mark.
We're talking with Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero. He joins us today from the National League of Cities Summit in Pittsburgh, where he and Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto are convening the new Manufacturing Initiative Task Force. That's an effort designed to spur job growth in advanced manufacturing. A specifically manufacturing-related question for you. This week, GM announced it'll cut its third shift at Lansing Grand River starting in January. That's the line that makes the Chevy Camaro, about 800 layoffs on the way. I mean, the drop in sales comes 15 months after GM brought back its second shift at LGR to prepare for the Camaro. What do you make of this sales slump and this development?
Well, first, my heart goes out to those workers who will be at least temporarily laid off. That's never an easy thing. Anybody that's been laid off, that's been between jobs, and most all of us have been through that, that's not pleasant. So my heart and prayer go out to them. My dad's a retired GM worker living with us in Lansing. We're blessed that he's still with us. So, you know, there will be, they should have hope for the future. Look, the auto industry, it ebbs and flows. We know that. I mean, those of us that grew up in Michigan, that grew up in the auto industry, there's peaks and valleys. And it's an award-winning, they're award-winning vehicles. I mean, praise God. And my congratulations to those GM workers, GM and the UAW, the products they produce are award-winning, world-leading products. So if they're not selling, then my God, what is selling? But again, it shows the auto industry, there's ebbs and flows, and they're constantly retooling. The good news, Mark, is that GM has just recently announced they're going to invest, I think, another over $200 million in the Lansing Grand River plant. They recently invested some $300 or $400 million in the Lansing Delta plant. So the good news in the long run is that GM is here to stay, and not every, Lord knows, I mean, how many cities can say that they've got a major industry, you know, the nation's leading countries, in fact, the world's leading automaker is invested to stay in your city. So the good news is they're here, they're invested, and there's more product coming. And you know, that's just the cyclical nature of the auto industry. We're blessed in Lansing to have a pretty diverse economy. We've worked hard to retain companies like Jackson National Insurance Company and, you know, Accident Fund, AF Group now in downtown Lansing. You know, we've got Michigan State and the FRIB happening out there. So we're lucky that with the thriving insurance industry and the state government and Michigan State, we're very lucky to have a dynamic economy that is not completely dependent on the auto industry. But obviously, by my attendance here in Pittsburgh and missing Silver Bells tonight, this is pretty important. You've got a mayor who is tuned into manufacturing. I always have been. I like to think I helped save the auto industry by my lobbying efforts, by organizing mayors from around the country, creating the MAC, and which is now the Manufacturing Automotive Coalition. We're doubling down on manufacturing. We're not walking away from it. And, of course, the jobs, they're not just at GM. GM is very important, but all the suppliers, the supply chain, you think about all the products that go into a vehicle, you think about the transportation. It is again, that's why it has a huge footprint in our economy. And there is work to be done. And believe it or not, Mark, mayors have a lot to say about it, and we're going to be focused on this like a laser. We mayors of manufacturing cities, we are dug in, and we're not content to just let things happen the way they will. We intend to continue to influence to make sure that this industry grows and thrives in our cities across the country.
Let's shift gears a little bit, and speaking of footprints, we learned yesterday that Sparrow Hospital is looking at some footprint at the Red Cedar Renaissance project. The planning process is not complete, so we're awaiting a lot of details. Can you share anything with us about that?
Well, I mean, we've been working, of course. There's a lot people don't see and don't hear about because that's the nature of development. But the Red Cedar project is alive and well. It's very exciting. It's a dynamic. There's a lot of moving parts to it. It is not an easy one, as has been identified. You know, we've got the drain commissioner involved. There's a lot of elements to it, but it's very exciting. I mean, that's one of the last tracts of land really right adjacent to Michigan State University. We asked the public years ago, and the Lansing voters said, yes, absolutely, go ahead and develop that land. But it's a bit of a tricky site because of the hydrology, we aim to make it, to work with the developer to make it so that, in fact, it can be developed. And we can take advantage of that dynamism. I referred to it, I refer to Michigan Avenue as our miracle mile. It's a little more than a mile, as you know, between the Capitol and campus, Mark. But that's our miracle mile. And it's beginning. You're seeing urban infill along the way. We've got great local developers like the Gillespies, like Joel Ferguson and others, who are other young entrepreneurial types who are buying up corners along Michigan Avenue. And so you're slowly seeing this infill. And we're really taking advantage, again, leveraging our assets. Michigan State University is such a tremendous asset. And as you know, Mark, you've been in this town for a while. You know, for a while, it seemed like we were constricting like a balloon. You know, we were squeezing in the middle. And what you saw was a lot of development out in the burbs. You know, you saw all that stuff out Chandler Road and so on, because Lansing and East Lansing, for whatever reasons, a variety of things that constricted the development right around the university. And it really pushed the development out, way out, far from the university. What we're seeing, there is a market, clearly, from the private sector. These aren't things that government runs. You know, we don't have a government-run economy. The market is saying people want to be close to the university. The youngsters today, the millennials, they want to live and work and play all in the same space. They don't want to get in the car and drive 5 miles. So what you're seeing, that's why you're seeing the infill on Michigan Avenue and around Michigan State University, and that's what the Red Cedar Renaissance will take advantage of. It'll also take advantage of the beauty of the land. So, I mean, the developers aren't just going to pave over paradise. It's going to be a wonderful development. We're going to continue. We're going to maintain that park-like space by the riverfront and really take advantage of the geography of the place. It's going to be a beautiful development. It'll help keep people right there, and it's a green development in the sense that, again, you're going to see a walkable, bikeable Michigan Avenue. You're right now, it's difficult to go from campus to Capitol by foot or by bike. That's going to change.
We're down to 30 seconds here, Mayor Bernero. People have begun getting curious about your plans regarding running for mayor again next year. Do you intend to do that?
Well, right now, all systems are go. You know, I can't imagine a reason not to. Things are going well. But I never put it on automatic pilot. You know, I'm excited about where we've been in Lansing, and I'm excited about where we can go. I really believe that we are set to really take off now. And Michigan Avenue is just one example. You know, the east side, but, you know, the downtown, Old Town, Rio Town. There's so many exciting projects right now happening, and I think we're making great progress. All the trends are in the right direction. Unemployment is down. Crime is down. GDP is up. And I think we can do even better in the next 4 years.
Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero on the line from Pittsburgh, where he's attending the National League of Cities Summit. Mayor Bernero, many thanks.
Thanks so much, Mark. Take care.